Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Luke chapter 14. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, is the text. All three appointed readings for today offer some challenging words that need attention. In Deuteronomy 30, we have a combination of predictably poor translating, because they always translate the word incorrectly, and this particular word in Hebrew, shema, and fertile ground for, you know, misunderstanding in the rest of the portion of the book of Moses. Whenever you come across the word obey in regard to the commands or word of God when you're reading scripture, understand that the legalistic concept that we have of obey is not the focus of that Hebrew word shema. And it is a very bad translation that seemingly almost everybody does. But the word shema, it means to hear, to listen, guard, keep, cherish God's word of law and gospel. Read the introit again at how the laws, the commands, the precepts of God are viewed by the psalmist. Or read the words to our opening hymn, "Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways." And look at how the law is meant to be read by the children of God. It is not obeying his voice, but listening to his voice and holding fast to him is how it should read there in Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. It's the same way that we desire our children to listen to our voice and do our will out of love and honor for their father and mother. Instilling fear and pouring out wrath upon them is meant to always be the last resort. And the same is true with God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Shema. Jesus does not say, let him obey. It is love for God, created in you by the Holy Spirit, not the fear of hell, that has brought you to faith. Also, when he says, by keeping his commandments and statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land. This does not apply to you and me as a direct statement. You have the general rules of the Ten Commandments in the laws of Moses, and they have always applied to everyone. Cain did not have to have a stone tablet with "thou shalt not kill" carved into it for him to know that it was wrong for him to kill his brother Abel. The law is written on everyone's heart. However, in the days of Moses, God made a specific covenant with Moses and the Israelites where he handed down very specific rules that govern most all aspects of life, and there were punishments for breaking those rules. And he offers up great and mighty promises of blessing and prosperity for the Israelites if they keep his covenant and worship him only. Their days in the land are going to be blessed and prosperous. There is an expanded version of the fourth commandment that we find elsewhere, and many of us memorized it in the catechism. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you, and you may live, bad translation, long on the earth. It actually says that you may live long in the land. Ha'aretz, another good Hebrew word, the land. And in Leviticus 20, God promises that if you break the covenant, the land will vomit you out. This is speaking to the Israelites specifically, not to you and me. The covenant with Moses is a land contract between God and the Israelites. Much of it does not apply to you and me. However, reading all of the Levitical laws does give you insight into the mind of the Lord and how He wants to be worshipped. It is still the Word of God, but the Word of promise, blessings, prosperity, and the promise of curses and being vomited out of the land, this is specifically for the Israelites. When you read the books of Moses, you have to understand this, or you will end up in the land of TV preachers and the prosperity gospel, which is not the gospel. On Facebook on Friday, as I was finishing this up, I looked on my homepage and there was this post, and it says, "If you believe in God, repost, and in 2 minutes, He will do a huge favor for you." I kid you not. That's not the gospel. The old covenant with Moses, there in the Old Testament, that was a land contract with the Israelites. The Old Testament covenant that applies to you and that applies to me is the covenant with Abraham. God promised that the seed of Abraham, the Messiah, the Christ, would be a blessing to all nations, and He would die for all nations that all nations might live. And Abraham believed, and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. And it is with this promise and for this promise that we return again and again to hear the Word of God. We also have had our faith credited to us as righteousness. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is good news. In our reading from Philemon, by the way, it's the entire letter, the epistle lesson, we hear Paul's advice to Philemon, a slave owner. And he gives him advice on what to do with this runaway slave who has now come to know Christ while he has been with Paul. Now there are those who condemn Paul for not outright condemning slavery and demanding that Onesimus be released, freed. However, you have to understand, slavery did not end in that part of the world because of a radical uprising or public demonstrations or the enactment of any laws. Slavery ended in that part of the world because the gospel was preached and the people of God put value on life. And the message of Christ dying for the sins of all people prevailed upon that world. Slavery ended in that part of the world because Christian slave owners were, on account of the gospel, were called to treat their slaves as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what Paul told Philemon he was to do. And he says, "I'm confident that you will do even more than I ask." And whether he was freed or not, he was not going to compel him to do so. Because real freedom does not come in the law. It comes in the gospel. Kind of an interesting little historical tidbit in regard to our own Lutheran church. Prior to the Civil War, there were German Lutherans in the South who were slave owners. The thing is that the Lutheran slave owners really did take to heart their Lutheran upbringing and their understanding of Christ dying for all the nations. Because they typically taught their slaves to read, and to read Scripture in particular. They had them learn and memorize the catechism, in German, of course. And many, unfortunately not all, you know, but many worshiped together with them, treated them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you ever notice or wonder why there is a Concordia University in Selma, Alabama? And this was a historically, predominantly black school. Here in Illinois, there was a Dr. Marmaduke Carter. He retired from full-time ministry back in 1957. But he was a black Lutheran pastor from Alabama who came up to Chicago to do mission work, and he spoke fluent German. And he was invited to many Reformation festivals, and people spoke of him as just being a very powerful preacher and really a rock-solid Lutheran that gained some notoriety within the Missouri Synod for his, you know, for his theology. He was even quoted recently by President Matthew Harrison. Now, clearly, slavery is wrong. There is no counter-argument. But like St. Paul, we live under a secular authority that tolerates many things that are contrary to the will of God. And certainly, our nation, for a while, tolerated something that was contrary to the will of God. You want to read the laws of Moses, it was forbidden for an Israelite to make another Israelite a slave. It was not favorable to God. The point, though, that Paul makes is that it is the gospel. It is not the law that changes your relationship with the people in your life. And that was going to be true of Philemon and Onesimus. You have been saved by grace. Your faith has been credited to you as righteousness. And the same is true for all of your brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter how high or low on the economic scale they might be. Remember that they are your brothers and sisters. Which brings us to the gospel reading from Luke 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father or mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So if you had a fight with your family and you hate them all, then you must be right with God. Clearly, that is not what Jesus is saying. Here's another word that gets mistranslated or misused just because it has a different connotation than it used to. Hate, as Jesus uses the word, means to reject, renounce, or disown. In the Old Testament, God says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Esau was rejected by God. He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He treated God's word of promise as being cheap and common. And he was rejected. It's not that God wanted to punish Esau because he really hated him. No, he rejected him as the conduit through which Christ would come. Jacob was the child of promise. And through him, the seed of Abraham would continue. The point that Jesus is making is that if your loyalty to your father or mother, son or daughter, husband or wife, or to yourself, if that loyalty to any of those people interferes with your relationship and devotion to Christ, well, this is what Jesus is talking about. You cannot be my disciple if you love them more than you love me. It's a first commandment issue. If you hold them in higher value than God's word of promise, like Esau, you're treating it as being cheap or common. Now, I join in the chorus with many parents who say, I would do anything for my children. And there is nothing wrong with that sentiment. Unless we say, I would do anything for my children, so I really don't have time for that church stuff. Not right now, anyway. That's a very dangerous way to live. God's message to his children has always been the same. Along with the promise of the land to the Israelites, there was also the promise that the living God is a God of justice. And if the Israelites did not hear, listen, guard, keep, cherish his word of promise, they would be removed from the land. God has promised, like Abraham, your faith is credited to you as righteousness. No matter what your place is on the economic scale, whether you are wealthy or have nothing, the only thing of lasting value is your faith in the saving word of God. And this makes your relationship with Christ primary. It has to be first. Your love for your father or mother cannot save you. Your love for your son or daughter is but a pale reflection of the love your Father in heaven has for you. God's word is filled with a consistent message. Although it is often a difficult message, and a message that our sinful nature doesn't like to hear. So Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.